Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back into another edition of Slow Your Roll. I am Dominic Lorenzano, and alongside special in studio this time, not calling in from South Carolina, our college football guy, Larry. How you doing today, Larry?
Hey, great to be here, Dominic. How you doing?
I am doing good. Yeah. Baseball playoffs, the playoff push is going on here in the next 2 to 3 weeks. There's a lot of races. College football's just started. The NFL kicked off last night with what was a very good opening game. So if you're a sports fan right now, life's pretty good.
Yeah, it's almost overwhelming. There's too much to cover. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'll...
You got to leave some stuff off. You know what happens. That's the way it's going to be. We'll zoom in on a couple of things here and there. We're not going to talk a ton of NFL today. Yeah. We're going to talk a lot of baseball and a lot of college football.
Okay, okay. And I can mention some of the things we're going to leave off, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go for it.
We're not going to talk about climate protesting at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, we're not going to do that.
And we're not going to talk about smoochy kisses on the lips after soccer victories either in Europe.
For the U.S. Open thing, they get enough attention.
Here you go.
But anyway, so we're going to skip rapid fire news today. No Tommy. We will have a Darwin. You all watched that game last night. Come on. You know who the Darwin's going to be. I don't know what he was, Andy, but I'm not going to.
I saw the game just off and on, and I know we texted. I did happen to see the end, and I knew it was fourth and long with just over 2 minutes to go.
Long,
and three timeouts.
Long is an understatement.
So is that? Did Andy Reid have a terrible game all along? Are we talking about just that one?
I'm talking about that. I don't think he had a terrible game all day. I mean, it's hard. Kelsey's out. You got no wide receivers.
I was in a place with no audio. So did Collinsworth criticize it right away? Or
yeah, he questioned it.
Okay.
You know, they're especially national broadcasters, you know, live during a game, criticizing is, you know, they're a little soft on that.
Correct.
They kind of just, you know, well, this is interesting.
Yeah. You don't consider it one of those things where either way was a possibility? You think it was a clear-cut mistake?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fourth and 25 in the NFL? When you have three timeouts and a two-minute warning?
I agree. I thought they should punt.
And your best weapon's not even playing?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's my thing on it. But anyway, with that...
Yeah.
Anyone, if you're listening from Louisiana, let's vibe for just a quick second here and calm down, all right? So I know you're unhappy. What, you've lost like four straight openers to start a year, I believe, something like that, or every big game opener in the last like 4 or 5 years LSU's lost.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they've lost a bunch of openers recently.
All non-league games you're talking about?
Yes.
I can't remember the other ones other than the two Florida State games.
Well,
lost Wisconsin 1 year?
Did yes, they open it? Yes. Yes.
That was more than 4 years ago, I think.
No, yeah, maybe it's like four of the last like actual big game openers. But anyway, all right, let's calm down. All right, I know you're like, oh my gosh, we lost to an ACC team. We think we're supposed to be one of the best teams in the SEC. National championship, okay? Florida State, historically, is a big boy SEC-type program. They're historically the best program in Florida. Florida Gators were really good with Urban Meyer when they had that. Miami had two stretches. That's been it. Florida State has consistently been one of the best programs. They have a high-level, high-IQ offensive coach like Mike Norvell, a proven winner. And unlike you, he's in his fourth year. Florida State, the Seminoles, they're farther along in this process. Now, people thought LSU had a chance at a national championship, and they still do, by the way, because you play in the SEC. Simply because they had a couple of high-end players all returning for their senior year and a quarterback with a lot of experience. But if you talk about depth and everything, they're not quite there yet. Brian Kelly basically told you this, by the way, on SEC Media Day before the season started when he was asked how close they are to a national championship. He actually literally admitted that they think that they're in a good spot, but he thinks they need another year or two. So Kelly admitted this before the season even started.
Okay.
Now, I know we don't like how ugly it was, but Mike Norvell is farther along in this process. 4 years, there were a lot of people, a lot of pundits who thought this team had a really good chance of winning the ACC coming into this season. It will be okay. Calm down. Let's trust the process. It's only year two for Brian Kelly. Take a deep breath with me, LSU fans.
The only places I might question that is when you said that FSU was further along than Kelly was at LSU. I'd only say to that is that Brian didn't have – I don't think he had a – I know there were some problems at LSU, but I don't think that LSU had fallen off from being a power. Florida State had fallen quite a bit.
It had. It had. Yeah. The cupboard was not completely bare when Brian Kelly got there.
Correct.
That is
it's
true.
Not even close.
No. Okay. But, hey, they won a lot of games last year, and they beat Alabama. It's not like they. It's not like
exactly.
He's turning
That's
out
what I mean.
500 seasons.
Right.
So I just think everyone, deep breath. There's plenty of time for them to get better.
Yeah.
That game was closer, I thought, than the final score, too. I thought, you know, they missed their opportunities in the first half, and then they had that breakdown on defense in the third quarter. And then after that, I mean, I think you talked about it. It's like a momentum swing on steroids. It just kind of snowballed after that. But
kind
I don't
of,
think
I was. But that's. I think that's the thing that is going to get the LSU fans concerned. How could you let things swing that far? How could they completely collapse and become that flat in such a big game that had been competitive for the first 30 minutes?
Yeah, that's true. Listen.
It was weird.
It was.
And you know, Brian, that's what Kelly said after the game. That was one of the strangest football games I've ever been part of.
But this is why I'm a gambler and I don't bet college football. Because 19 and 20-year-olds, I mean, things just happen. I mean.
Correct.
They just do. I mean, Clemson kind of got the snot kicked out of them by Duke. I mean, what was that? These things, it's just weird. Things just happen like that.
Yeah.
But I think the LSU fans, let's all relax. But as to the other thing, let's flip to Florida State here for a second. I never, and I don't think you did either, we never questioned if Mike Norvell was right for this job or if he could get it right. The only thing we ever questioned was, are they going to be patient enough?
Yeah, well, when you say you, I think you're talking about you and I as people who enjoyed Memphis Tigers football.
Exactly.
And watching all the offensive players now in the NFL that went through that system.
Mm-hmm.
And Norvell was ahead of his time almost with what he created at Memphis. So we were patient. I think when you're part of a tradition that's used to having your way, I think patience is not a word that's in your vocabulary.
No, not at all. But, I mean, the Seminole fans needed to just understand what had happened when Jimbo left, and then, more importantly, just what Taggart had done to that building and that program in his short tenure there.
Yeah.
Norvell walked into a complete dumpster fire.
Yeah, he did. He did. It was just astonishing to see how far the Seminoles had fallen, and it's taken some time, but he's getting there. And you know, we talk. I thought of this the other night, and I know you were with an FSU fan,
mm-hmm.
but the quarterback position is so important, and it takes more than that. But when I watched a couple of times, when I watched Florida State football with James Blackman quarterbacking, I just thought he was about the worst quarterback in one. You know, I'm not trying to be mean.
No, I know he was bad.
He was a very poor player.
He was. I know. It helps when you get the guy right like that. But I mean, if you just look at their line, like and defensive line. Somebody put this question up. I don't know if it was an ESPN article or something after. They're like, is Florida State a serious playoff contender? And I laughed because I was like, I didn't need that game to tell me they were a playoff contender.
No, we already knew that going in, right?
Yeah. I was like, anyone who's been, if you watch film or pay attention close enough, if you saw them at the end of last year, you're like, this is a team full of NFL bodies.
Yeah.
Especially up front. Like, this is one of the best teams in the country for sure.
Right. Except they did have that losing streak last year. I don't know who they lost to in those games.
Mm-hmm.
Did Wake Forest beat them? I can't remember.
I think Wake Forest did.
They didn't lose to Georgia Tech.
No, they didn't lose to Georgia Tech.
Okay. And I don't know if NC State beat them or not, but you know, that's a concern when you have that kind of a losing streak. And Clemson still looked like they're a little bit better than them, but we'll see.
I don't think they look better than them.
No,
now.
Not after the other night, but they're going to recover too. By the way, you talk about don't jump overboard, slow your roll, and don't overreact. I think Clemson's going to be okay. I know that was bad.
Okay, but when DJ Agumbawale is lighting it up at Oregon State week one. I mean, yeah. you know, that's a little concerning.
Five TDs for DJ. I was happy for him. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I get your point, but whatever. We'll quickly go through some news, some of the bigger news at least. Joe Burrow signs his massive extension with Cincinnati. We all knew it was only a little time coming. I thought he was going to take a little bit more of a pay cut, but it is what it is. I didn't look into the details. Maybe there's some things that make it more team-friendly than I realize. I don't know. Nick Bosa ends his holdout, is now the highest-paid defensive player in football. I have some thoughts on that. I don't. I haven't heard a ton of pushback on that. I don't think there should be any pushback at all. San Francisco had to do this. If you're not going to pay a quarterback, right, you're not paying a quarterback, why not spend money on, I don't know, one of the three best defensive players in the entire league?
Right.
I mean, this league, as it's gotten more offensive and the rules have changed, in some ways it's gotten simpler. Here's what it's about. Get a quarterback, a franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
Get someone to protect your franchise quarterback. And then go get somebody who can go get their quarterback. Those are the three most important things.
Right.
We can debate after that. Is it wide
receiver? Corners fourth.
No, I was going to say, we can debate four.
A wide receivers fourth.
We can debate four. Yeah. Is it a corner? Is it a star wide receiver? I don't know. Mm. But you got to get those three things right.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're not going to pay, first off, even if you're paying your quarterback elite money, it's one of the three most important things. So you still got to play the defensive part. But if you're not, if you're going with Mr. Irrelevant, seventh round, not paying them anything, peanuts on the dollar, why not? This is just a no-brainer. I don't understand how anyone has any pushback on this at all. I understand where the Chiefs are with Chris Jones a little bit. I mean, you saw it last night. The weapons outside of Kelce are just non-existent on Kansas City because Patrick Mahomes takes up a massive amount of the cap. So I understand where they're at with Chris. I still think they're probably going to get a deal done at some point with Chris Jones, but we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
Yep. And then other news, obviously, you all watched it. The NFL has officially started. The Detroit Lions take down the Super Bowl defending champs in week one, 21-20.
You know, I'm supposed to contribute to the show, but I'm going to end up asking you questions and learning here. But last night, I guess the Lions looked good. Gibbs didn't have a huge game, but he contributed a little bit?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm sure they'll work him in as time goes on.
Actually, one of the first plays I saw was a defensive touchdown. And when I saw who it was, I was happy because I thought Brian Branch was maybe my favorite defensive player coming out of college.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'd watch Alabama and I'd really watch him on defense.
Yes.
I thought he was a great player in college.
Yeah.
And he's off to a good start in the NFL, obviously.
Indeed. And by the way, the big thing for the Detroit fans, not only did you win, right? Your defense was not great last year. You address it in the draft. You bring in Gardner Johnson, the safety, who had some big plays in Philadelphia last season. They looked pretty good on defense.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Casey gave them some help, but I thought they did a decent job on the line. I thought they got after Mahomes decently well. Sometimes they didn't contain great, but that is what it is. Aiden Hutchinson like looks like a Bosa brother now. I mean, he's a stud. So, man, they're just dotting their I's, crossing their T's now. And I don't know, man. I think you got to watch out. And an NFC that's not great quarterbacked, Jared Goff, man, he gets disrespected a lot. He's a very solid NFL quarterback. And he's probably a top three quarterback in the NFC.
Wow. Yep.
Who else is in the NFC? Jalen Hurts? What are we going to say? Dak Prescott? Geno Smith?
Let's see.
Derek Carr?
Yeah, Goff is right there.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, just saying. But anyway, with that, let's move on to the rest of our college football talk and probably the biggest story of the weekend. And that was the Colorado debut and Deion Sanders. That was impressive. That was really impressive. To turn over that much of your roster, right? Go through that many guys in the transfer portal. And then, let's be honest, TCU did lose a lot of guys to the NFL, by the way. So, you know, it's not the same team. But not only to win that game, but also to play as mistake-free as it seemed they played. I didn't see a lot of dumb turnovers, dumb penalties. Like, they played a really clean game of football. Now, they don't have the NFL bodies on defense. They're going to give up a lot of points. But I thought they played a pretty clean game. And I thought that was an outstanding coaching job by Deion Sanders that you can have that many new guys in there and just week one be that buttoned up.
I agree. I was concerned for him going in because, like you said, I don't see how you can do I don't know how you can start a brand new team and be together and be in sync like that on opening day. It doesn't make sense.
I know. At all. It's crazy.
And I think maybe some credit does go to Coach Lewis, who came over from Kent State to run the offense. I think that's a part of it.
Oh, for sure. They looked, I mean, the scheme, some of the plays they drew up. Now, they have dudes. Like, they have guys that, you know, our Joes on your Joes make a play. But they schemed a lot of stuff up pretty well, too. And Sanders, I mean, you know, there's a lot of NFL people after that game who are starting to be like, you know, you could throw him into the first round.
Wow.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Which is wild, because now we're looking at a draft that could have 5 to 6 quarterbacks go in the first round.
Yep.
I mean,
that's something. And the thing about that impressed me with that offensive performance is that obviously I didn't watch a lot of Jackson State football over the years, but I saw the one game about, I think, 2 years ago when they played a bowl game, I think, with South Carolina State.
Yeah.
And the SC State just shut down Sanders and the whole team. And I said, wow, this guy is overrated. He's Deion's son, and that's his only thing. He's not really I don't know if he can play. But he showed Saturday that taking on a team that just came out of playing in the championship game.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of show. And it goes, I guess Travis Hunter is just frightening.
Oh, yeah, he's ridiculous. He's an absolute freak.
Will he continue to play 100 snaps, you think?
I think he will.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, at some point he'll get nicked up with something and then have a game where he doesn't play as much. Yeah. But as long as he's healthy, I think he's going to play that many snaps. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's truly an amazing feat of nature. And it's going to be so interesting if he's going to play both sides of the football eventually in his NFL career or not. But he kind of looks good enough on both sides to be able to do it. So
I look forward to it. I'd like to catch some of the Nebraska game, which is, I forget when that is, this weekend.
Mm-hmm. I do think, I wonder what the line is. I do think that Colorado's going to get overhyped in that game. And I do think Nebraska is going to make sure that it stays between the hash marks and largely at the point of attack with running the hell out of the football.
Yeah, it's not going to be a TCU-type football game.
I'm a little worried that Colorado is just not going to be able to hold up to the size. I think there's a possibility they come crashing back down to earth here next week.
Yep.
And, you know, again, not bad coaching. I don't think there's going to be mistakes. I just think the bodies, especially on the other side of the football, the defensive side, I think Nebraska's going to do a good job of keeping the ball away from the Colorado offense. But we'll see how it all plays out.
Okay.
But, so I thought that was one of the most crazy things of the week. You know, I didn't really doubt Deion. I thought he would work. I just didn't know if it could work right away quite like this. But, I mean, he got the first job at Jackson State. He got because he was Deion Sanders. But he got this job because he can coach. I mean, he got Jackson State playing really good football by the end.
Yep.
So, you know,
I would say a combination of the two, but you know, he earned this opportunity, I think.
Yeah. I think so, too. It's going to be real interesting. Now, he's going to be at Colorado for this year and next year, because I think Travis Hunter comes back or someone else comes back. I don't know. But I think so, or his other son is going to have to play there for 2 years. I know someone is there for 2 years. So Deion probably is there for at least 2 years. But it's going to be interesting. Like, how many big boys are going to come calling, potentially?
You mean bigger boys?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like big boy programs.
I don't know. You're downplaying the Buffaloes a bit. Well, I know they've struggled, but it's...
Come on.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know what you mean. I'm trying to think. Who knows? If a program with more notoriety is struggling in a couple of years...
Well, what if Sark only wins 8 games this year?
There you go. Deion in Texas,
it makes sense.
It does.
He played in Dallas. Yep. He's got the Southern... Which, by the way, that's the other thing. When Deion took this Colorado job, do you think he knew they were going to the Big 12? I kind of do. I think somebody told him.
Oh.
From a recruiting standpoint, that makes more sense. Look, I always thought the Pac-12 and the Colorado fit was odd. Like, his roots are extremely Southern.
Yeah, not West Coast at all.
At all. So I thought that
was... Of course, Colorado, the people in Colorado will tell you that we're not West Coast really anyways.
That's true.
You know, there was always a divided view on when they made the switch to the Pac-12, you know?
That's true. Hmm. But I don't know. I kind of think someone told him.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that was in there. Okay. So
That's your typical dig at the Pac-12, which is probably the greatest conference ever, and it's just so depressing that we could do this whole show on on maybe the saddest thing in sports to ever happen, that there's no more Pac-12. I mean, that's astonishing.
Well, it's hilarious.
It's not hilarious.
No, but like in a tragically ironic way,
yeah,
that the year it's last year is, yeah, the year that it's been the best in years.
They have four or five really super strong teams.
They have three or four NFL quarterbacks.
That's right. Well, the quarterback is sick. I know.
It's ridiculous. It's one of the best, if not the best, quarterback conference I've ever seen in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. I can't think of another time or a conference that maybe had more than like two coming, yeah, into a season.
It's funny though. I can't think of the names now, but
Penix.
There's been some other years when the Pac-12 was actually close to this before. It's not
true.
This is not new to them having good quarterbacks.
No, it's not. It's not. California, especially Southern California, gets you very good
exactly,
quarterbacks. I'm trying to think the year. I mean, they had Andrew Luck one year. They had Marcus Mariota. Yeah. And
Washington had
Brett Hundley the kid? Was Hundley there at that same time?
Yep.
He might have been.
At Utah, yeah.
But I mean, some of them.
UCLA's Hundley.
UCLA.
Yeah.
But I don't think Hundley ever projected out to a first round quarterback.
Close. Yep.
But I think they have three that are top 10, top 15 picks.
I guess Penix is there now.
The problem with Penix is just the injury history, but yeah, the athleticism, he throws a very pretty ball.
Yeah.
So it's weird.
Yep.
It's just so ironic that for years they were down, they were a laughing stock, and then they finally are about, they're going to go away, and we look there and we're like, wow, there's like four NFL quarterbacks. We have three or four amazing teams. I'm glad you brought up the Pac-12, though, because that brings me to the next college football thing I wanted to discuss.
Before you go there, I just want to say you kind of led into another story there when you talked about Pac-12 quarterbacking with this week's quote from Caleb's daddy.
Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what I was about to get back into.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
So I was going to get to USC in general, but we'll start with the Caleb Williams thing.
Yeah.
When he first said something about that, I sort of rolled my eyes and I was like, I don't care. They're saying all the right things.
Yeah.
But when it comes out and his dad says it and he puts it the way he did, I know in the NFL, now that Dan Snyder's out, privately behind closed doors, if you talk to the owners, they would love to get the Arizona owner out. They would love to get Bidwell out of there. Oh. He's a laughingstock. He's a complete joke. I mean, quarterback's never been more important. They've never had more power. They make a ton of money in college now. I mean, he's got a lot of leverage.
Why is Bidwell so disliked?
He is just so cheap and so meddling behind closed doors.
And he was there. He moved the team from St. Louis, right?
Yes, he did. But he's, I mean, stories like in the facilities, you have to pay for everything yourself. Like, you can't even get a free cup of coffee.
Oh, boy.
You got to pay for parking. I mean, every year the NFLPA does their rankings of, like, facilities, you know, how the place treats the players. Arizona's always at the very bottom.
Wow.
They have been for years. So, yeah. It's a terribly run organization.
Yeah.
There's nothing right now that really gives you any sort of hope. Other than, I mean, really nothing, honestly.
I mean, diversity,
Kyler has become kind of a head case and a mess.
Yep.
I mean, even if you get, listen, no matter who you are, if you're going in the beginning of a draft, you're going to a bad team. But you can project out and say, what's the chances they can get this right? Nothing in the history right now tells you that the Cardinals are going to get this right.
There's no reason to be optimistic, no. I'm surprised Baker, did Baker resign or he just, I thought he was gone.
I think he resigned.
Okay. I'm kind of surprised he's
I know, dead. I kind of was too. I think but he's dealt with some injury problems over the last like year and a half. So, and you never know, some guys, you know, not everybody cares for winning like you think. Some guys, you know, it's a way to make money. It's a paycheck. Maybe he's got a family and he just doesn't want to.
Some don't like change.
Yeah.
Like Jose Ramirez of the Indians, one of my favorites.
Yes.
The most underpaid player in sports.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think Devers gets paid more than him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love me some Raffy, but we do have to be honest with Raffy a little bit. He's a DH. I mean, he's leading Major League Baseball at his positions and errors for like the third year in a row. And Jose does kind of it all. But back to the Caleb Williams thing. I mean, he's got a lot of power here. And you know, we talked about this. You said, you know, could you just be another Eli and Elway? And I said, yes, but I think Arizona could be so bad that we know by like week 10 they're going to have the first round pick.
Right.
I mean, the first overall pick.
Right.
I don't think they'll even have to make it as ugly as Elway and Eli did. I think they can just know pretty early on.
Trade?
Back to college. Just not even.
So you think, okay, so you think, you think Caleb's dad is thinking back to college more than leaning on Arizona to make a trade?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. I do. I think that would be uglier. I think that would be harder. And he's making a lot of money in college.
That was the next thing. That's where football has changed for the kids in college with the money they can make now.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, is there anything bad about another year with Lincoln Riley? Is that the worst thing in the world? It's not like some of these other places, you know, sometimes you get suspect coaching in college. Mm. No one questions the coaching that he is getting at USC under Lincoln Riley.
Right. No.
So I don't think this is it's going to stunt your development type of thing. So that's why I see this being a little bit less dramatic than the way Eli and Elway did it. Because I think it's going to be a pretty easy decision. Hey, you're still making over $1 million, probably.
Well, they were both in their senior seasons. Yeah, they had to come up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's going to be, especially if Arizona's as bad as we think they could be, and we know very early on, it's just going to be, just go back to college, Caleb. Wait, let's not do this. Let's not deal with all this drama. Just right back to college.
Maybe Joshua Dobbs will surprise us all and he'll win 7 games.
He couldn't beat out Mason Rudolph in Pittsburgh. He couldn't beat out Big Ben when he was a zombie at the end who couldn't throw more than 5 yards. That's not happening.
If you had to bet on Sunday, will it be Dobbs or Clayton Toon starting? If you had to guess, a bet. Yeah.
Clayton Toon.
You're going to go with Cleo, okay.
I mean, why?
Nothing to lose, right?
Yeah, like, they're both probably bad. Why don't you just see what you have in the rookie? Yeah. I just don't get it. But
we don't know if Toon is bad yet. He hasn't played.
Well, listen, even if you're someday good, you're not usually good week one
of
your first NFL start. That's not usually.
Right.
Unless you're Justin Herbert.
Or Brock Purdy.
He played a lot of college. Was he like a 3 or 4 year starter at Iowa State? He played there forever.
At least three.
Yeah. So back to the next thing with USC, though. Now, they rebounded very nice against Nevada. I know they still blow out San Jose State. I know it's only year two, but we talk about track record. USC, they want to fancy themselves capable of being in the playoff and winning a national title. I'm starting to have serious question marks if Lincoln Riley can ever recruit, cares about recruiting it enough, and is ever able to build a certain physicality and toughness on defense that they can ever reach that.
Yeah, the two words don't go together, Lincoln Riley and physicality. They really don't.
No.
It was amazing all those years at Oklahoma. We kept waiting and waiting for them to get tougher and it just never really happened. So, and the defense is off to an awful start. I mean, the tackling in that game against Tulane was just a disgrace.
No, I mean, they're allergic to tackling. It's really bad. And it's just this will all work to a certain extent, right? It works a lot in the Pac-12, although even to that extent, I mean, Utah kind of beat their brains in eventually last year.
Yeah, the Pac-12 is Oregon, not as soft as people think.
No, I was just about to make
okay,
that.
So thank you.
I think, especially this year now, Lambert, second year at Oregon, he's got SEC roots. They're a physical football
exactly. team. Exactly. Washington is extremely physical.
Yeah, Washington usually has one or two NFL guys up on the D-line. We know Utah. Utah is about as physical as it really gets. Yeah. I mean, they pushed around Florida.
They're the most physical team in the Pac-12 generally.
I mean, I see them losing two of those three games potentially.
I don't. Do they play all three in a regular season? I'm not sure.
They might not, but yeah. one of them they may end up facing in the Pac-12 championship.
True. Yeah.
So, I know it's year two. I haven't seen it. I wonder if I don't know if he doesn't value it. I don't know if it's maybe just the offense that he runs. You can't build toughness on the defense because ones are going against ones, right? So if your offense has no real physical element to it, it's not going to build up the physicality on your defense.
And I think, you know, this makes for interesting football. I like when teams have traditions and personality traditions. Mm-hmm. And Lincoln Riley teams have that personality
yes,
right now.
Yes, they do.
And there's other teams, too. So we'll see what happens. I know. I guess he's going to have to show us somehow. We'll see as this season goes along.
Yeah. Where do you put USC this year? If you had to bank on it, do you think they're winning the Pac-12?
Going in, I would have bet on them, yeah.
Really?
Because Caleb is so...
I know.
It is, you know, you can talk about Penix and Nix and Rising being early picks. I don't know if Cam Rising's a first-round pick, and I like Cam Rising.
No, I don't think he's a first-round pick.
Right. But Williams is on a different level.
He is.
Yeah.
He's amazing. But, man, if you just can't tackle, and you can't tackle Tulane.
Yeah.
I mean, Utah pushed around
Was that Lincoln's
Florida.
Second year or first year last year?
First year.
Okay, so we got to be patient there.
I know, but yeah. It goes back to Oklahoma, too.
Hey, did you see any of the first two games yourself?
I watched the San Jose State game.
Did they play better defense?
No.
Okay.
I did not think they played good defense against San Jose State. I did not watch the Nevada game, and I know they blew them out. I did not think that they played good defense against San Jose State, really, at all. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
They're going to have some tests this year, as well as playing Notre Dame, of course, in the non-conference game. So it'll be fun.
Yeah. To the next college football thing, I want to talk about two elite programs, or at least glamour names.
Yeah.
they have some pressure on them this year. Probably one more than the other. But let's talk Sark in Texas and Ryan Day in Ohio State. Ryan Day is starting to fall into the same category that I just said with Lincoln Riley, except he doesn't have the cachet of Riley. He's not a great offense schemer as Riley. But the same sort of your teams, and the longer Day has been there, the less physical Ohio State has become. And again, a part of that is the system he runs. They get such great wide receivers, great quarterback. And they struggle to run the ball consistently sometimes. And they definitely struggle to stop the run sometimes. And again, if your program is built around wide receivers, flash, NFL quarterback, it's hard to be able to build that sort of physicality in the defense when they're going against an offense.
I mean, I'm not questioning your argument, but it doesn't make sense. Why can't you be a lights-out offense and have a defense that's big, strong, and physical?
Well, it's just the style of offense that they play, I think. It's just when you practice against the ones all the time, if the offense is more finesse, flash, and really is about throwing the football all the time.
I never thought about that.
I don't.
You should do your own show. That's good.
I think you struggle then to build the physicality on the defensive side. And the longer you go down this route, again, the more it snowballs. And when you have wide receivers as great as Ohio State, like, you have to use them.
Yeah.
So,
good point.
But I think Ryan Day, I know you're probably not going to agree with me. I think he's in a little trouble. You know, I don't think he's in a little trouble. I actually think he's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they're beating Michigan again. And I'm not saying like they don't beat Michigan this year. He's getting fired right away. But if he loses to Michigan again, I wouldn't be shocked if his job is on the line the next season.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think I'm being too hyperbolic? I know he wins a lot of games.
Yeah.
I know. But they're easily the best program, and they recruit the best in that conference.
I would say two more in a row, he's probably gone. No matter what he does with every other game, if Ryan Day loses to Michigan in 2023 and 2024... Bye.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree there.
Okay, good.
I don't think it's fair either, but what's fair for foot for NCAA coaches?
Yeah, I know, no.
I think he's a great, great coach, but
I think he's smart. You know, I don't think he's a bad coach, but
you know, when they talk about that defense, and I know, I mean, 95% of the time they play well. It's just a couple of big games where things fall apart. I mean, did the defense fall apart when they let that get away from Georgia? Would you say? I can't remember the details.
It kind of did. Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny, when you talk about the defense, the one play I remember, and I don't know if you remember, that Michigan game was Knowles calling that blitz, I think at the end of the first half.
Yes.
You remember the play?
Yeah, that was just mind-boggling.
Turn that game around.
Yeah, that was a really bad defensive call.
I'm sure OSU fans are driven crazy thinking about that play. But
they've, it's not just the defense. Sometimes they have struggled to be able to establish a consistent run game. Multiple times against Penn State, I think, in some of their tighter matchups. We saw that another day. It's happened in some of the games they were nearly upset. It's just – and it also makes it so sometimes they play well early, but they can't put a team away because they can't establish a consistent run game.
Yeah.
So
– I'm going to see how they ran a ball against Indiana while you're talking. But
I mean, it is Indiana. Okay. They started slow in that game, though.
I know they did, yeah.
They started pretty slow in that game. Next one is Sark at Texas. I mean, they've recruited top five since he's been there. You got Quinton Ewers, who people think is an NFL quarterback. I have my problems with him. I kind of think he can be a bit loose, sort of. I think he makes kind of poor decisions sometimes. But they're going into the SEC. They're in the Big 12, which is, I mean, from the outside, from pundits, what, the third or fourth best conference right now? I mean, SEC, Big 10.
I think...
You have to put the Pac-12 ahead of it this year from everything we've seen so far.
If it's fourth, it's only by points. I think all the conferences are pretty close. I mean, the SEC is still the first, but the SEC still... The SEC still has Vanderbilt in it, you know.
Yeah, I know.
And I think the Big 12 is fine.
It's not about that, though.
It's not physical.
The Big 12 will be fine. I'm not talking about the conference itself. As far as if it's gonna, the Big 12 will be fine.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, though, when you recruit as a high level of Sark has at Texas the last 2 to 3 years,
right,
and you're going to the SEC,
yeah,
and you won what, 9 games last year? Did you win 8? Did you win 9? I forget what it was, but it's like, and Oklahoma was bad last year. Like, Oklahoma was a non-factor.
Under 500, I think, yeah.
I mean, bro, you got to win 10 games and win the conference this year. Or at least 10 games. Maybe if some weird crap happens and you don't win the conference, okay, fine. But there's no excuse why this team shouldn't win 10 games.
Again, you know, you're tough. You're tough on these coaches.
You think I'm tough? Go spend time in Baton Rouge or Austin.
You look at the names. You don't see LSU and Georgia and stuff. But it's never easy to play Kansas State. Oklahoma State is never going to lie down when you play them. Those are tough games.
You know,
Texas Tech is not easy.
No, and you know that is a good point. The Big 12 doesn't have the big boys.
But
it's kind of deep. It's kind of deep.
Every year.
Like, is there...
Now Kansas is scary in offense.
Yeah. Like, is there actually just a walkover game?
No. West Virginia is the closest maybe right now.
Yeah. So that's a very valid point.
Thank you.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Oklahoma and Texas were about to leave, I always thought it was very interesting that people thought the Big 12 was dead. I never thought that.
Good for you.
Because I was like... Listen, half these teams are in Texas.
Yeah.
The NIL thing's coming down the pipe. Right? The Texas teams, they have plenty of buy-in. It's a huge state. I know you think that Austin, Texas just owns the whole state.
I don't think that.
Oh, but I didn't mean you, but I mean a lot of people,
right?
It's a massive state. It's like four different states in one.
And UTSA is on its way to the conference eventually.
Exactly, that too. And they spend a ton of money on it.
Unbelievable, yeah.
And for the reasons the Pac-12 failed... With the reasons I never thought the Big 12 would, I was like, the Big 12 will figure it out because they put football first.
Right.
they will spend whatever it takes.
The Pac-12 on is diversification.
It's diversification.
It's still a great conference.
It is. But I was like, all these programs in Texas, they got a lot of pride. They don't want to be told they're not playing power conference football. Like, they'll get the money together.
Yep.
They'll figure it out. They'll bring in people. The minute Texas and Oklahoma were leaving, I was like, all right, Houston comes in. Houston's got a great recruiting base. They have a lot of money. It's a massive school. Like, the Big 12 is going to be okay. Do you think, let's say Sark not only doesn't win the conference, let's say he only wins like eight games. Do you think Texas? Yeah. Okay. Do you think Texas would make a change right before it goes to the SEC? Or do you think they'll go, hey, we'll give you a year with Manning?
What's this, his third year?
I think so, yeah. Could even be his fourth, actually. I'll look at
it. Yeah, and I made that point to you off the air last week that they may give Sark a chance with Manning first. Especially if Ewers plays really badly, a lot of the blame will go on the quarterback and not on Sark.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the coach will come back and be the one blamed for making that decision. So I don't know.
Yeah, this is his third year. This is third year. I think the Manning thing does help him. I think they might be like, we don't want, you know, Archie's coming in.
Yeah.
You do have a good track record. Well, I mean, I don't think he has a good track record, but people like his track record for some reason. Offensive mind, and just not wanting to make a change right before you jump into the SEC,
right?
Maybe is the thing. And maybe if they're looking at Deion, right, they'll look at it as Deion's probably going to be at Colorado at least one more year, to coach Shiloh,
right?
So
we'll run it. Sark another year.
We'll run it back with Sark and see how it goes.
Oh, I tell you, I think Dominic is out there looking for coaches to get the axe.
I'm not. You think I'm looking for coaches to get? Go down there. You know it.
I know. You're the mouth of the rabid fans across the country.
I'm not.
Columbus and Baton Rouge.
You think I'm bad? I'm the one who's telling them to relax. They're way worse than this.
Because
you should hear the callers down in Florida about Billy Napier.
Oh, now, right. Okay, I understand. And you look for that because you asked me on Saturday night in Charlotte, is Beamer in trouble already? I go, no, he's not in trouble.
It's a thing.
But maybe South Carolina fans are a little bit more patient. I don't know.
Well, they're probably a little less delusional.
A little less what?
Delusional.
Oh, obviously.
We talked about this so much. When we talk about who's on the hot seat, who's not, I should like sit down and get like a rating system for what makes you on the hot seat.
Yeah.
Top on that list is what's the number I give the delusionality of your fan base.
Right. Yeah.
The Gators are pretty delusional.
Yeah.
Auburn, I think,
delusional
is almost takes the cake in the entire country for delusional.
Yeah.
But
in Baton Rouge and Austin as well. Yeah.
I don't call Baton Rouge and Austin completely delusional.
No. Okay.
Because I mean, at Austin, Texas.
Oh, they are. They do have reputations and programs, you mean, and tradition.
Yeah, like, I think if you win eight games in Austin, Texas, you're underachieving, you know?
Yep.
If you're winning eight games at Auburn and Nick Saban's still in Alabama, I don't necessarily think you're underachieving.
No. Good point.
It's not the first, second, or third best recruited state in the country, and you're number two in your state. Florida Gators, you could make the argument, are what, two or three in the state? Who's bigger? Probably the Gators are a little bigger than Miami. But Miami
I'm not
does,
sure about
but
that.
But Miami's got a huge national brand.
Yeah. No, I don't think Florida is bigger than Miami.
So they're third in their state.
Yeah. Yeah.
So wait, come on.
Yeah. But it's a very strong third.
It is. Yeah. But all right.
It's like 1A, it's like 1A and 1B. It really is strong.
Okay. Okay. Before we take a quick break and then go into some baseball talk, do you have anything on the college football that you want to bring up? I know you wanted to bring up the Pac-12 and Larry Scott.
Oh yeah, a couple of things about the Pac-12 falling apart. I try not to think about it because it's going to ruin. I won't be able to enjoy college football because it's depressing.
Yeah,
I mean, it's tradition. The teams are all there every year. Arizona was going to go to Oregon State. Washington State was going to play Cal. It was great the way it was, and now it's just all going up. And it's really sad. Larry Scott obviously was behind getting a TV contract.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was looking at I was looking at this week's college schedule, and there's about three or four Pac-12 games that are going to begin at 8 o'clock Saturday night. To me, perfect for television, those games. Mm-hmm. No, the late starts are good. They can, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And the other conferences went in, and they went, Fox, hey, let's play with that Fox piggy bank. Then they went over, hey, let's go take some of CBS's money. Mm-hmm. Let's go hit ABC ESPN and let's get all that money. What was Larry Scott and the Pac-12 doing?
They were sitting there trying to be too precious, trying to be too ideological, being like, well, if we make a deal for this, are you going to be able to put volleyball on television too? Or can you put this on television too? Or
you think that was it?
I know that was it. Okay. I know that was part of it. They were trying to like make it and get other things thrown in for a deal.
Right. You have to know where your bread is buttered.
Exactly.
Football pays for those programs.
And Fox looked at them and went, what are you, high? Okay, we'll go talk to the Big 12 then, and they won't ask for this crap. They'll just say, what football games do you want? What time do you want them to start? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's so simple. It really is.
He blew it.
He really did. And of course it was the West Coast that had to be the most ideological and delusional.
And then we waited for I forget the new guy's name, but we waited for weeks about the quote, the new TV contract that's going to be coming up. And then finally one day we find out it's streaming on Apple. Oh, my goodness.
Where does Apple TV fall in the streaming companies, too? Like, fourth? Hulu's bigger.
Prime is bigger.
Amazon Prime is bigger. Yeah. And YouTube TV now, especially since they made the deal with the NFL, is getting bigger, probably bigger already than Apple TV.
Oh, no, it's not even close.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad I'm not the only one
who
thought that. Apple TV was going to save you.
Oh boy! Yeah, that made it easy for Colorado and Utah to make the final decision. We're out of here. Now I do think that down the road, eventually, you're gonna have some kind of a unification where the NCAA is gonna lose their control.
Oh yeah,
somebody else is gonna control
a lot of people. Maybe think that.
Maybe a super 20 teams, maybe 32, maybe 40 teams with one big TV contract, and something like the Pac-12 will come back someday.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. I've heard a lot of people say stuff like that.
Oh, well, I thought I made it up.
Okay. You didn't completely. I mean, you made it up in the sense that you thought it would become completely back around, and then it could be a Pac-12 again.
80% maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. But before we go to the break, actually, I do want to talk. You said that, you know, it's a great thing to have an 8 o'clock schedule, like 8 o'clock games too. This is why I think the SEC has got some real competition now with the Big Ten, because the Big Ten is going to make more money than the SEC in a couple of years. Mark it down. I guarantee it.
By bringing in the LA team?
You get that market, and now I get television. I get games on at 12, at 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5. It's football from noon till midnight.
Yeah, you're right.
Where the SEC, no matter what they try and do, some games are going to cannibalize each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. It happens all the time.
All the time. And in the Big Ten, we can have big games
we'll spread
on
it out, right.
every single yeah. hour that we need, every, you know, niche slot.
They could put a USC or UCLA game on at 8, and then we'll start at 10:30. We'll start Wisconsin at Washington.
Exactly.
That's impressive.
I know. It's going to be huge. It's going to be so big. It's going to make them so much money in these TV deals. Yeah. So,
I hate it.
I know you hate it. I struggle with it because, you know, I'm you know, a bit conservative like you. I don't really like change, and I love the you know, the in-state rivalries and all that kind of stuff. And it does suck now that this year the Pac-12 is playing better football than it has the other 4 years. But there's also part of me that's like, man, there's going to be some awesome big football games now on the West Coast that there just wasn't happening as much. Like when Ohio State gets to go play USC.
Yep.
Like, that's going to be an awesome atmosphere.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And especially in the Big Ten is great, but the Big Ten has a lot of walkovers, too.
Yeah.
You know, the Big Ten had its problems. If you want to talk, if we're going to judge a conference by its bottom, the Big 12 is pretty bad. The bottom of that conference.
Big Ten.
I mean, the Big Ten. Yeah. The Big Ten is pretty bad
right.
at the bottom of that conference. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm so conflicted on this one.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Somebody, you know, the Illinois turning. It looks like Illinois is turning around a little bit. They're playing tougher. And Rutgers. Rutgers is Rutgers. We'll see. Yeah. Maryland is dangerous now.
They can be.
With the offense. And Loxley's done a good job there.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see.
Yeah. Indeed. All right. So with that, we're going to take a quick break to, you know, rest our voices and rest things for a second. And we'll talk probably quickly on the Lions and Chiefs. And then we're going to talk some playoff, the baseball playoff push. So stick with us, guys. And we are back here at Slow Your Roll. Moving on. It's baseball. I mean, listen, NFL's a lot of football right now. Baseball getting real interesting. Most teams have about, what, like 20 to 24 games left?
Correct, yep.
Like that. And there's still some division races going on right now. Before we talk about those, I mean, we're local guys. You lived here in Boston for most of your life, so you're still following the teams up here. You're following the Red Sox. Let's touch on someone who's probably out of the playoffs by now, though. Stuck on Boston. I mean, you listen down from South Carolina. You know we're not big fans of Chaim Bloom, and think that there was some opportunities missed this season with this Red Sox team. So,
yeah, it's just it's just amazing. And I mentioned this to you when you watch baseball across the league, you see so many. I'm going to stereotype these relief pitchers come in. They're about 235 pounds. A lot of times they're from the Dominican Republic, mm-hmm. and they throw 98.
Yes.
And I don't know why those guys never appear in a Red Sox uniform. I don't know if it's some kind of a rule. Do you know what I mean?
No, I know.
You know,
we throw out.
Sinker slider guys.
We throw out Schneider, who's going submarine, 6 foot, looks like 195 pounds.
And Murphy, that guy.
Oh, gosh.
You know, some of them are bad, but my goodness.
I know.
Why can't we get these big, hard throwers? You know, so I talked about the Brewers bullpen the other day. They've had a good bullpen all year. And also they have a guy named Uribe showing up now.
Yeah.
He throws 100.
I know.
He's the newest guy out in that bullpen. Yeah.
It's like Darwin's and Hernandez didn't work, and they like gave up. Don't recruit outside of America and maybe the occasional guy from Japan.
Yeah, but on the other hand, they're bringing up a lot of position guys, and I don't know if are these guys legitimate prospects. I think you thought maybe a lot of them are borderline.
Yeah, they're borderline.
Is Rafaela a big prospect?
I think his stock has risen a lot this season.
Okay,
I think he had a very good year down in the minors.
Is he an outfielder or an infielder? I can't even tell.
He came up as an infielder.
Okay.
I think they've moved him to outfield for a little bit of time down in AAA this part of the season. I mean, you know the way positions work in baseball a lot of the times. They mix and match a lot of it.
That's right. The Red Sox...
Sometimes you grow out of a position, you know.
Well, the Red Sox theories, they just draft all shortstops, and they know eventually they'll play somewhere to help the team.
Yeah, right?
But you think Abreu's borderline, right?
Yeah, I think Abreu's borderline.
It's kind of depressing that the stock is going down on Marcelo Mayer a bit.
I know. I mean, the injury, kind of a down year. But
and I saw yesterday that Jordan Lawler made his debut. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
For the Diamondbacks, yeah.
I did see that. Yeah. He's very high in their prospect.
He is.
So do you think that Bloom missed the boat here with this team, or are you just someone who's like, I thought they were going to finish in last place and I think they overachieved? Because to me, I look at this team and thought there was potential here, but you never fully invested in the pitching off season and trade deadline.
Yeah, I think they slightly overachieved. I think along with him in that baseball, I think you win baseball games because your roster is the strongest 9 through 21.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you win because you have the best 1 through 5.
I agree. I mean, we're seeing that with the Padres and the Mets.
Yeah. You don't win because your first five are the best.
No. but their entire 12-man pitching staff is mediocre to garbage.
The Red Sox.
Yes.
Exactly. And that's what I don't think he does a good enough job of going out and pick. This is where, why does Tampa know that the free agents and the Rule 5 guys, how do they know that they're going to work out?
I don't know. I don't know. They're on a different level. I know. I understand that. So, but it's like you have the money to at least try.
They should have, and this is 2 years in a row where they should have had some guys ready, some AAA. They should be one or two AAA starters who are borderline major league pitchers who can come up with his injuries.
I know.
He has not done that 2 years in a row.
There's no one that they bring up who does anything valuable.
Exactly.
At all.
I'm talking even, I mean, well, Jordan Lyles somehow is still in the majors, but I'm talking about that type of arm that you can bring up. Mm. Maybe it's not that easy. You know, somebody tried to, was it the White Sox or the Rangers? Somebody tried to use Dallas Keuchel, maybe the Twins, about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It did not work out.
He had a couple of good starts first, though.
Keuchel did?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't
know. He had a no-hitter going through like 7 2/3. Now, I think eventually the last couple of starts, it's completely fallen off the wagon.
Yeah.
But...
but that's, I mean, they don't do a good, I'm not happy with the preparation, and I don't think it's been tough for Cora. And it's funny, I'll take the Dodgers for an example. Well, if I watch a Dodger box score, every game there's a new reliever, and they just shuffle back and forth.
Yeah.
Tampa's the best at it,
yeah.
But the Dodgers do it too. When the Red Sox, it seems like if they ever do any shuffling, it's out of desperation. It's not... anyways, it's going to bring us to that game that we're going to talk about.
Yes.
When the season ended and that loss.
To Houston.
It was Houston, not Tampa. That's
right. Yeah,
when
they got swept.
And I was watching that game. I'm off and on watching. I'll go through. I watch every night for a couple of weeks. Then I'll skip some. But that was the beginning of a three-game series with the Astros. And I think Duval hit a big three-run homer. And they led in the fifth inning, I think, 4-2.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Sale. That was, I don't know, maybe approaching the 90 pitch, the golden 90 pitch rule.
Yeah.
And they decided to take him out. And I think they went to Barraclough in the fifth inning because it was early. And Barraclough got out of that inning somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So it was 4-2 Sox, and then Barraclough started the sixth inning. The most famous inning of the 2023 Red Sox season. The inning from hell.
It was a massacre.
And it turned into, and I was thinking, I love to manage along with a manager, and I'm thinking along with Cora that, gee, he doesn't have it. Should I take him out? Well, geez, who can I bring in? Everybody's been pitched two out of the last 3 days or the last two. I really have to rest all these guys. I can't pitch. Then it got to the point after four hit batsmen and eight runs are in, now it's, well, this game is long. Now Barraclough's going to take a beating for the team.
Yeah.
So they went from winning a key game in an opening series against another wild card contender.
Yeah, at that time, yeah.
To the season ending.
Yeah.
And it ended that night.
It really did.
Yeah.
I think it 100% ended that night. I think, you know, I was off and on being able to tune into that game because I was working at the time. But going back after it was addressed the way you addressed it to me and then after that and looking at it, no, that is kind of almost the marker that you can end.
Yeah.
And this is where the season ended.
And I felt bad for Cora because I know if Barraclough could have got... if he could have got out of that sixth inning with still a 2-1 lead, I think he would have said, I'm going to push it, and I'm going to use some of the guys I wanted to rest in the seventh, eighth, and ninth.
Mm-hmm.
But then the sixth inning became...
A massacre.
And then it got to the point where, oh, now do I rest my pen and let him take the beating? So it's not easy managing a baseball and a pitching staff all the time.
Especially when it's this pitching.
Especially when your GM leaves you shorthanded all the time.
Yeah. I'm just going to let Eovaldi and walk. Just leave, right? Not even like they were even paid that much money. And I'm only going to address it with one pitcher. I'm only going to bring in Corey Kluber. That's the only person I'm going to bring in. It's just wild.
Yeah.
It's just such a failure. And, you know, I want to compare it because you're comparing it to, like, the Dodgers and the Rays. But they're elite organizations. And I people might be like, well, that's not fair. Okay. Let's compare them to Arizona. Arizona does not have a good pitching staff. Arizona has had to figure a lot of this crap out as it's gone. And sometimes it's been ugly. But they've been able to figure it out enough to still be in the wild card race and get enough wins.
Yeah.
The guy they started with, pitching in key leverage situations, McGowan, was a Rule 5 guy. Like, they've been able to figure some of it out or willing to pay money to bring somebody in or just take a flyer on this or that. So, like, you can't just, oh, the Dodgers and Rays are elite run. You know, that's not fair. Arizona has a bad pitching staff. Madison Bumgarner got cut, like, a month and a half into the season.
Like, yeah, that bullpen has been awful. But you think they've made the effort, at least, the front office?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, and especially they went out and got Sewell'd for the deadline. So.
Mm-hmm. Like, this, see, it's not... This isn't just, oh, we just don't have the guys. You can figure some of this out.
He did not bring in one veteran reliever.
No, he didn't bring in a single one. Yeah. Not a single.
And there's tons.
One.
There were tons out there. There were so many. We had our little game predicting guys.
Yeah, you couldn't bring in Brett Suter.
I was going to bring up Suter. I know. Like, he would not have been much money at all.
No, no. There was even starters out there you could have brought in that wouldn't have been that much money. Like Marquez, just take a flyer on somebody, you know?
Yep.
It's whatever. But anyway, to the teams who are still in it.
Yep.
Let's start with the biggest story. I mean, the AL West. I mean, you got three really good teams.
Yeah, with an amazing collapse right now.
With an amazing collapse right now, much to my, you know, despair and chagrin, although my beloved Baltimore Orioles are up by four games, so I think I'll be just fine still this year. But it has been I was trying to throw off the word choke or collapse by Texas because I was like, well, they've dealt with a bunch of injuries and stuff like that. It's getting to the point that it might be time to use the word collapse. Like, if they don't make the playoffs at all,
right,
that's kind of a collapse.
Yeah, it is. Garcia's going in the IL now, by the way. I don't know if you know that.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I just saw it this morning. You know, I'm trying to think. Now, was Eovaldi the only pitcher that went out? Did they just... I know Dunning stopped pitching well.
Yeah, Dunning stopped pitching well.
Oh, Perez did too.
Yeah, Perez did too.
He's been in the pen for a while, yeah.
Yeah.
Gray's been consistent, right?
Gray's been consistent. Yeah. Gray's been... decent. I'm trying to think of
Scherzer's not done the job.
Yeah, Scherzer has not done the job at all.
Right.
So Scherzer has been just not worth it.
And it's one of those situations where the offense was so good, you knew it was going to have to come back to earth.
But I think I blame the offense more on injuries.
Young got hurt, but who else?
Josh Young got hurt. Corey Seager was out for 2 weeks.
Yeah, that hurts.
And then Young got hurt as well.
Okay.
Now, Seager came back a couple of days later.
Yeah.
But Seager was hurt for an extended period of time on this. Josh Jung was hurt.
Yep.
Now you're telling me Garcia went down.
Oh, Heim was hurt too.
Jonah
Heim
got hurt as well for an extended period of time. Like,
the
injuries did just absolutely ravage the lineup, and they needed that offense because they're not an elite pitch team, especially without their big money guy in DeGrom, who just didn't do anything this year because he was hurt. Yeah, and the bullpen is just not good either. And, you know, Dunning started to not pitch well, and Scherzer didn't pay up to the dividends of what they had got. So then they just taxed the bullpen even more.
And anytime you lean on Aroldis Chapman, you're playing with fire.
Right. But they've overworked an already mediocre bullpen at this point in the season too. Jordan Montgomery has been consistent. Jordan Montgomery has been very good for them. But a lot of this, they've given up a lot of late leads. You know, these games are close.
I saw that.
These games are closer.
The last 3 weeks,
these games are closer because they're just not beating the snot out of some teams like they were earlier in the year with all the runs.
Yep.
And this bullpen is getting exposed. So,
we'll see.
It's interesting because, I mean, right now as it stands, even if Texas did turn it around and got into the playoffs, I consider them still one of my favorites.
I think
all three of the best teams in the AL who I would pick to win the AL are all in the West, in my opinion. I mean, you can push back on that. You tell me how you see the American.
No, I just think the Astros are incredible.
I know you
talent.
I know.
It's funny. I was watching Altuve in that Red Sox series. I go, we're seeing one of the great players of our lifetime who doesn't get that much attention.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went on and hit for three home runs and three pitches.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did.
And Bregman, after being kind of an off year for a while is really.
I know he's turned it on. Yes. He's been crazy.
And all of a sudden, Tucker has developed into what they thought. How often do you have a star coming up and the sky's the limit and they end up being disappointing? Mm-hmm. Not Kyle Tucker.
No, not at all. And you know what? We talked about how Houston maybe had taken a bit of a step back this year, and yeah. I still think they have. But in the American League, I think the whole league has taken a step back. And their problem is kind of pitching a little bit.
It is not. Yeah, it is.
But nobody in the American League has the pitching, except for Seattle. The Mariners have elite pitching, right. And that's why I really like the Mariners if they can make the playoffs.
Yeah. I think.
But Houston has a way better offense than Seattle.
It's not even close.
No. Right. The only team in the American League who can bang with the Astros is Baltimore offensively. Yeah. And Baltimore's bullpen is putrid without Bautista. I don't know how long Bautista is going to miss. I think they still don't know if he's going to miss the rest of the year or not.
Yeah.
He's still in danger of doing that. It's a really bad bullpen.
Fujinami closed, I think, the other night. Yeah.
He's terrifying. If I'm in a one or two run game and I have to rely on him to close out anything at all, that is terrifying. He looks like a little leaguer sometimes.
I know. We've enjoyed him.
Yeah, he's enjoyable when you're not banking on Baltimore for anything.
Is Cano still been pretty off and on?
He's been off and on a little bit. They've used him a lot. I thought he stepped nicely into the Bautista closing role. But when we talk playoffs, man, and you're facing the best teams.
Yep.
And you got young starters who have never pitched as many innings as they have. And it's just going to be a big stage for them.
I think it's going to
come down. So unless you're going to just cash in on these guys every day being able to pitch seven innings in this playoff thing.
And that's not happening. No,
I don't think you can get 12 outs from their bullpen.
Baltimore's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad. So I think right now it's Houston, Seattle as my two favorites in the American League.
And I think Texas and Toronto it's going to come down to those two for the last spot.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I think so too.
Yeah.
You know what? You're right. Sneaky. I live and die by. I've lost a good amount of money on them now the last 2 years. So
Toronto.
Take this with a grain of salt. You know what? I'm glad you brought them up. If they get in, I do think Toronto matches up still with everyone in the American League. I certainly think they're better playoff team than the Rays and the Orioles, because the Orioles don't have the bullpen, and the Rays. They're the money ball, Billy Bean. Yeah,
they're unique.
But they're built for 162.
I know.
They're not built for the playoffs.
A short series,
yeah,
right.
They're not.
Yeah, because Toronto is going to throw Gausman and Bassett and Berríos. Which is not overpowering, but
it's
solid starting pitching.
It's solid, and they have a better lineup than the Rays, in my
opinion. Although it's fallen off.
Well, yeah,
from
with
years
Bichette,
past, yeah.
Bichette. Well, Bichette needs to get healthy.
He's got
to
get healthy.
He's got to get healthy because they do miss him. But I still think it's a better lineup than the Rays.
I don't.
Really?
I was watching the other day.
Yonder Diaz has turned into a just straight up great hitter.
Who?
Yonder Diaz for the Rays.
But you know what? Paredes is scary. You know I love Harold Ramirez.
Yeah.
These guys don't get cheated in his swing. I think they're entertaining to watch.
Okay.
Josh Lau is going to strike out five times in a row and then hit two homers. I mean. I meant Brendan Lau. I'm sorry.
Brendan Lau.
But Josh Lowe is becoming a good all-around player.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of Randy Rosarena.
I'm not a big fan either. I think he gets a little overplayed.
And they brought up another kid, a catcher, who looks like he might be decent. His name's, it's spelled Pinto, but it's pronounced Pinto or something.
Okay. I know that they.
I don't know how they do it.
I do know that they have a few problems though in the pitching staff now. Though actually, the Rays
injury or just
well injuries just, too.
Yeah,
but they have some depth problems, especially when McClanahan went down.
I know they do, but somehow
I know they figure it out.
Glasnow looked deadly the other night.
Yeah. So in the American League, obviously you said the last wild card spot probably going to come down to Texas and Toronto.
Yeah.
I'm starting to like Toronto in that space. In the American League playoffs.
Too hard to call. Wide open, right?
I think so too, but you love Houston so much. I thought you might say it's Houston's once again to lose.
No, not that much better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we're both on the same path. It's wide open.
Yeah.
I think it's less wide open than I thought 3 weeks ago. Because I really feel like it could just come down to Houston and Seattle. We'll see with Toronto. Toronto has a chance.
But I
really don't like Baltimore and the Rays in the playoffs. I really don't.
Yeah.
And I'm the biggest, this is a Baltimore Orioles podcast in 2023.
The bullpen or starting pitching or both?
Kind of both, but especially the bullpen.
Losing Bautista is devastating,
Oh, yeah. It's been very devastating. To the NL Central. We got a very exciting end of the season here between Milwaukee and Chicago.
The Brewers are almost like the Rays of the National League.
I know they are. They are. Let's look at what lies ahead here. Yeah. So right now they did just lose to Arizona yesterday.
Right. So they're two out.
So they have Arizona Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Great
series because Arizona's vying for the wild card spot. Then they get Colorado, so that's a nice break. But then they do get Arizona again. But then they get Pittsburgh, they get Colorado, then they get Atlanta and Milwaukee.
That's the Cubs schedule?
Yep. Yeah. So they end the season with the Brewers.
Yeah.
So this really could just come down all the way to the end.
Right. Now, I think it will, yeah.
Now, boy, is that rough that you get Atlanta right there.
It does.
But is Atlanta might be resting people, especially the starting pitching. I mean, they've had their division wrapped up for like 2 months.
And the starters have played 100 million games. They have not had any injury. Yeah.
Exactly.
They play every day. Every day, Riley's in the lineup. Every day, Acuña's in the lineup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting.
So Milwaukee, on the flip side, they have the Yankees this weekend, who I know we're going to laugh at the Yankees, but now
they're playing well now.
They've won five in a row. They're back above 500. Okay, so they're not.
They lost last night.
They might have lost last night. You're right. But before that, they had won five in a row.
Yeah. Rizzo got thrown out of the game, even though he's on the IL.
Then they got four against Miami. They got three against Washington, which, by the way, be careful with Washington.
And I was going to say
they're hitting now.
I want to say the same thing about Pittsburgh when you talked about the Cubs.
They can be pesky.
They can be. Okay.
But with the Cubs have decent pitching.
Yeah. Okay. But you're right. The Nationals have really played way better than we thought.
Yeah. Way better, especially lately.
Well, the young players have developed, like Abrams.
And they're hitting.
I know.
So they can figure out the pitching with a Milwaukee team that I think offensively is still sus. I know they've played well and they've put up runs here over the past month and a half. Yep. I still think they're suspects offensively.
They are.
Yep. So, I think that's a more interesting matchup. Then they'll have four against St. Louis. They'll have three against Miami, three against St. Louis again, and then they finish with the Cubs. So I think I give the edge to the Cubs as far as strength of schedule here down the stretch.
Do you think it's easier, the Cubs?
A little bit.
Okay.
They get Colorado twice and Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
Colorado's not playing good baseball at all.
Not at all.
No. I think Washington is tricky. Miami is still, Miami and they both teams get teams that are still vying for a wild card spot. They both get Miami. Milwaukee gets Miami. Cubs play Arizona. Now, Arizona's probably the better team than the Marlins. But
I think they're pretty even.
True.
Okay.
They're pretty even.
Yeah.
And then there's St. Louis and then the Yankees, who are playing good baseball now. But do you think it's a wash? You think they're both about the same?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very close. Yeah.
But I love that they end with each other.
That's great. Where is that last series? Where?
It will be in Milwaukee.
Okay, which is still a home game for the Cubs.
I know, right? We've been there. I'm sure it'll get a little bit better by then.
Yeah, I know.
But no, I mean that's funny.
They'll be cheering for both teams,
right? But who are you going with right now? You think
in that division?
Yeah, you think Milwaukee holds on? It's a two-game lead.
I know. Two, and that's big with what 22 games to go.
Yeah, but
I like the Cubs. I like the Cubs on paper better, like you do.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And by the way, the numbers bear that out. They do have a better. They have a 97 run differential, whereas Milwaukee only has 20.
There you go.
Yeah. And their expected win total is actually significantly in favor of the Cubs.
No, I don't know about the Cubs. I know the Brewers bullpen more than I know the Cubs bullpen.
The Brewers bullpen's better. For sure.
Yeah. Now, Merriweather throws hard, right?
He does.
See this setup guy?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know anybody else.
You don't know Alzale?
No, he's the closer. I know
him.
Yeah,
oh, okay, okay.
That's, I know those two, and that's all.
They know Leiter.
That's right. And the former Fulmer, too.
Fulmer, too. Yeah. So I don't think the Cubs have a bad bullpen.
Right.
I think it's fine.
Yeah.
But the Brewers have the advantage there. But I like the Cubs' offense significantly more than I like the Brewers. And I think the Cubs' starting pitching is pretty good.
Now, why? Tell me. Here's a million-dollar question.
Mm-hmm.
As a Dodger fan.
Mm-hmm.
Why Cody Bellinger? Why? Why does this happen?
That he's great 1 year and then sucks the next year?
2 or 3 years.
I know. The only thing I can get is he has a extremely
long
and sometimes kind of violent swing.
Yeah.
And he just, when it goes wrong, it goes into a funk. He's just, he can't get it back. And also maybe he's a dude that because of the way he swings the bat, he has to be like 100% healthy.
Maybe. Those theories are as good as anybody else's. Just, because his strike, it's amazing the way he has cut down in strikeouts. He was guaranteed to strike out one of every three at-bats.
No, I've never seen a player like him that can have such massive just peaks and valleys.
Yeah, right.
Now, we've seen the occasional, I mean, we see it all the time. A guy has a outlier amazing season. But he has an outlier amazing season every other or every 2 years. But then he's awful. Like not a major league starting player.
Correct.
Awful. Not back to the mean, yeah. Not average.
Yeah.
No, not a major league starting player.
He was a number 9 hitting defensive center fielder for the Dodgers when it ended in LA. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was what, 2 years off an MVP caliber year?
Right.
Yeah. Like,
so baseball's different.
I know.
And Cody, that's my favorite saying. Baseball is different.
And Cody Bellinger is different. who do you think is nabbing that last wild card spot?
Okay, let's see. Reds, Marlins,
the Reds are
Diamondbacks.
The Reds are a half game back. Miami's a half game back. And Arizona currently has that spot. Be too much to go through.
I'm going to go with Miami.
Really?
Yeah, the Giants are out. The Giants have fallen back a couple, right?
Yeah.
They were the fourth team, I think.
For a while, yeah. But they've fallen back.
So it's really three now, Miami, Arizona, and the Reds?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go with Miami.
Arizona has, obviously, the Cubs. Then they got 4 against the Mets. Cubs, again, as we mentioned. They'll have 2 against San Francisco, 3 against the Yankees, 3 against the White Sox, and they'll finish with Houston.
So the D-backs probably have the easiest schedule.
They probably do.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get Houston, but again, Houston by that point. Although, you know what? No, because with the way the AL West is, Houston probably might still be playing those games.
Right.
Or at least 2 of the 3. Miami on the flip side, it's got 3 against Philly this weekend, 4 against Milwaukee, 3 against Atlanta. Yeah, you can. 3 against the Mets, 3 against Milwaukee, 3 against the Mets, and then finish with Pittsburgh. So, like, you know, the ending's not bad.
No.
But they got to.
Next week and a half is going to be.
They got to survive this next week and a half, though. Yeah.
Where are those games? Where are those Philly games?
They're away. So they're at Philadelphia. They're home against Atlanta. But they're at Philadelphia and then they're at Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And then Cincinnati. I'll be honest. I don't care about the Reds' schedule. I just don't see it. I don't see them making the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
They've fallen off. The pitching's not good. St. Louis this weekend, Detroit, the Mets, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, finishing with the Cardinals.
Wow, so by far the easiest schedule.
That is by far the easiest schedule. Hey, don't sleep on the Tigers.
I'll take the Reds to make the playoffs.
Okay, good. We're directly against each other. I throw the Reds out completely still. That is significantly easier, though. But their pitching's bad.
No, I'm just kidding. They have really...
They've really fallen off.
Yeah, and they've been hit by the injury bug.
They have.
Okay.
They have. But we knew they have no depth in the pitching thing to withstand much of anything.
And they're like 0-5 with the kids developing.
Oh, I know.
Lodolo got hurt. Ashcroft, I think, is hurt now. It didn't pitch that well. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Abbott's out now.
Yes. So, yeah, they got wrecked with that. But
I guess they have called Seattle to see if they can. They said they changed their mind on last year's trade for Castillo. Never mind.
I got to go back and look what they got in that deal. If anything has come to
fruition. Oh, I think it's kids. I think, oh no, I get, because some of their kids now did come in deals last year, but I'm not sure if one was Castillo deal.
I think it was the Minnesota deal.
Yeah.
Spencer Steele.
Off a male, Tyler Mahl, a male, yeah.
Yeah, gosh.
The twins struck out.
Yeah, the twins really could use Spencer Steer. All right, so are you going to go with Miami still?
Yes.
Or are you going Arizona? Because Arizona's...
Well, is this on a... Are you going to keep track and let the whole world know and put this on CNN?
I mean, it's fun. It's fun to go head-to-head. It's whatever. We say things that end up being wrong on here all the time.
So I'm taking Miami and you're going to take your Diamondbacks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is not a betting segment. We're not telling people to bet this. No, unless we strictly say... But
it looks like, I didn't love Miami's trade because I think Cooper's a good hitter, but it looks like when they picked up Bellenberger, it gave him a little bit of a spark. And and Chisholm's healthy now and hitting some home runs. And they just beat the Dodgers twice in a row. So,
yeah, no, for sure.
And they have the best starting pitching.
Yeah. But I'll go with Arizona simply because I think they at least have the two guys at the top of the rotation that are as good as Miami's. And then it's just a significantly better offense.
Tommy Pham bats third.
Tommy Pham is a pretty good
hitter. He's a journeyman player.
He's a pretty good hitter. He's a very good hitter, actually.
He's a platoon corner outfielder. He's batting third against both now.
I thought baseball was about, one through nine.
That's why the Diamondbacks are there.
and one through 25. And I think one through nine in that batting lineup is... Yep. It's pretty solid.
Okay. We'll see.
Miami's is, Jake Berger hits in the middle of their lineup. But
he's better than I thought.
Yeah, you're right, but I'll take Arizona's lineup over theirs any day.
Okay.
All right. With that, we're going to get ready to wrap things up. Quick drum roll, though, although we did already kind of hint at who the Darwin was, I'm still going to do it, so.
The Darwin Award. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You do this every show.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Just making fun of some dumb things in sports that
Sometimes
happen.
Sometimes my connection ends before I hear the Darwin winner.
I getcha.
But you said it's easy this week because of last night's game?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that was so baffling. Just really bad.
Yeah. I would say the establishment I was at watching the end of the game, and I made some comments. I said, would you go for this? Wouldn't you punt with... 2+ minutes ago, and everybody did agree. So
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. That was back to early 2000s Philadelphia Eagles, Andy Reid clock managing. So this week's winner is Andy Reid for going for it on a 4th and 25 with over 2 minutes to go and all three timeouts. So you had all three of your timeouts and you had the 2-minute warning. And if you punt the football away, they're going to be backed up because they were, they were at their own 40-something.
Yep.
So you stop them 3 and out, and you have excellent field position.
Yeah. You're going to get the ball back at about your 40, first and 10, not 4th and 25.
Yeah.
So the
And all night long, your wide receivers were a little sketchy, not making catches all the time. You're without your main weapon in Travis Kelce. So you just... think that you're
the odds of getting 25 yards were
I mean they're already low,
right?
But chop off another whatever percentage there even is that you convert a 4th and 25.
Yeah, that's
and
why
at
that's
4th and 25, right, from where they are, any throw downfield like deep becomes almost Hail Mary looking.
You're right,
and refs are gonna just swallow that.
Yeah, you're right.
So
he blew it. So
he's not.
So you're giving the Darwin Award to a future Hall of Fame coach for a coaching decision.
I am.
Okay.
They happen.
Does happen.
It happens.
Yep.
That is. And if you go back last year, right, when we do this, I think we only gave out the Darwin to only 2 or 3 in-game coaching decisions.
Hackett.
Hackett was one for sure. I'm trying to think of another one. I think it was Harbaugh going for a 2-point conversion to try and win a game, but we were like, no, it wasn't. It was Brandon Staley going for a 4th down when all he had to do was punt the ball away to Jacoby Brissett. and he would have been backed up.
Okay.
And then there were 30 seconds left.
Yep.
That was the other one. Because, I mean, do you think Jacoby Brissett's going to go 70 yards in 30, probably actually under 30 seconds with no timeouts? It's not Patrick Mahomes.
No.
It's Jacoby
was playing for who then?
The Colts.
Yeah. He wasn't going to happen.
That wasn't going to happen. So we don't give it a lot to in-game coaching decisions.
Yep.
But 4th and 25? In the NFL. Not college. It's not college DBs.
Yep.
In the NFL. I thought that was
yep.
just baffling.
Okay.
But anyway, that has been it for Slow Your Roll this week. We will have a very quick turnaround and be able to do covering what happened in NFL Week 1. If we can get in on Monday, that's our plan. So, but
with Jesse.
Yeah, with Jesse. Okay. Jesse will finally be back.
Yep.
You know, we've worked it all out. He had that holdout. We came to a new contract extension, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything's back to fine and dandy here at Slow Your Roll.
Oh,
so.
That's good to hear. Okay, because nobody can replace Jesse, so that'll be good that he's back next week.
Yes.
Okay.
Indeed. All right. So thank you very much.
You're welcome,
Larry,
Dominic.
For coming in.
Continue the great work on Slow Your Roll. Continue to look forward to the show every week, and I'll catch you later.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a great rest of your weekend, ladies and gentlemen.